so confused that it paralyzed my prayers. Unexpected pain tore my heart to pieces, just left my faith hanging there. But I rose up from the ashes of my despair. With the strength I stood and I declared that if you took it all away, every gift you ever gave, the sun that shines in my days, the stars that you displayed, and if you never blessed again, if you gave a purpose and a plan. When you have proven you have tried me, I will shine my gold in your hand, and I'll rise up from the ashes of my despair. Lord, with the strength I stand and I'll declare that if you took it all away, every gift you've ever gave, the sun that shines in my days, the stars that you displayed, and if you never blessed again, if you gave another try to stay, if the precious
blessed be your name. And if this morning.
Amen.
And know that His arm is long enough to reach your situation. Let the musicians go ahead and be seated. And I want to welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each one of you. It's good to have the Butler family with us today. And also see Brother David back with us this weekend. And we know we had a good time of fellowship last week. And just pray that the Lord would continue to do that. And we know He will. If there's anything that is lacking, it's not on God's part. It'll be on our part. So we want to put forth our best foot forward this morning in the service and believe that God will speak to our hearts. Believe that He will meet every need. And so, because if you come to see me and to look for me to do that, then you might as well leave now. But if you came looking for the Lord to come down and inhabit our frail human flesh, and to work through as He has promised He would do, then I would say you'll see God this morning. So we just want to welcome you to the house of the Lord. Just ask you to open your Bibles. We want to start out in Genesis chapter 5. And today we're going to continue on the thought we had a couple of weeks back of walking with God. So this would be part 2. And you can find part 1 on the internet if you would like it. If you would like a copy, we can get that for you also. Walking with God, and we're going to be talking about Enoch this morning. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 5. We want to read verse 21 through verse 24. Verse 21, it says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and beget Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him." Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. This, you'll have it on the board there if you wanted to see it there, but Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, one verse. How many knows that to have faith, that means there's a revelation that goes with that? Because if it's something you can plainly see with your own eyes and understand with your own thinking, I'm talking human eyes, human thinking, then, and it's just plain before you, then you don't have to have faith in it. But to have faith in something means there's an element of not being able to grasp it totally with your human intellect, but something in you strikes and says it's right anyway. And so that's an element that has to be there. The scripture goes on to say in Hebrews 11 that without faith it's impossible to please God. And so it's kind of something that maybe in our own human nature we don't want to walk out and get in that realm where faith is at. But in order to please God, we have to be there. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated," we would use the word rapture, "he was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him." Notice this portion, "for before his translation," before, not after, but before his translation, "he had this testimony that he pleased God." Let's bow our hearts to Him. Heavenly Father, we are again very well aware this morning that we're blessed people and that we have come not, Lord, to the frailty of human flesh, not to this building, not to what we see with our natural eyes, Lord, but we have come to Mount Zion this morning. Lord, to an innumerable company of angels who are ready, Lord, to move and work on behalf and Lord, to our King and to our Savior. Lord, we're happy to come, Lord, to Your presence this morning and ask, Lord, that You would just let Your will be done, or that You would come and move upon us this morning, Lord, that You would let Your Holy Spirit have free reign to touch every heart, young and old, Lord. God, we realize that time is folding out, closing out, Lord, and we feel like, Lord, there's not much time left to do whatever it is that You would have us to do. And so, Lord, at the same time, with the desperation and urgency that we feel and should feel at this hour, we realize, Lord, we need you to move upon us, to make us move, Lord, under your anointing. We ask, God, that you would do that this morning, that you would cause us, God, just to be anointed with your presence, not to be trying to go forth in our own strength, not be trying to be able to understand things in ourselves, Lord, but to let your Holy Spirit reveal your word to us and anoint us for service today. We ask, God, that you bless each one that's here, Lord, and may anything that might be hindering now, may you move those things out of the way, Lord, and allow your people to set in your presence in heavenly places, that they may hear your word clearly this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That you could be seated. How many believe that the Lord is good to you?
Amen.
I know he's good to me. I want to remember the prayer request and continue to remember all the things that are going on. And so, I want to read a quote real quick before we get started. Brother Branham is speaking here. And he says, now we find here that Enoch was the seventh from Noah. He actually said Noah, but you don't understand what he meant. He meant, because the scripture tells us that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And so, in Brother Branham's humanity, just with his own mind, his own human mind, trying to preach the gospel there, and he would say that Enoch was the seventh from Noah, but he meant to say the seventh from Adam. Can everybody receive that?
Yeah.
That God can work through human flesh that has failures and problems and still speak his word. That's how God. That's how great my God is.
Yeah.
My God could come down and actually speak through an animal if he had to.
Right?
Because we see that in the scriptures. And so so my God wasn't, he wasn't short-circuited whenever Brother Branham or Brother Tony or Brother Daniel mean to say Noah and we say Abraham instead. God's not, it's not a problem for him, and I hope it's not a problem for you. Because we want to look past the veil of the flesh and be looking upon God. And so Brother Branham said, now we find here that Enoch was the seventh from Noah, which is a type of the church ages. Now all the rest of the six men before him dies. All the men before Enoch, those six generations, every one of those men died, Brother Branham said. But Enoch was translated. And Enoch was raptured, the seventh, showing that it is the seventh church age that takes the rapture. And now there's no doubt we are in the seventh church age. We all know it. Amen? We are in the seventh church age. And so we want to just kind of go into walking with God and talking about these things again. It's not that I want to go back and repeat things. I have a nature about me where I don't want to do that. I fear going back over and covering material the second time over. And there's a phobia I have, and I have to overcome that, because I know that even science will tell you that you've got to hear a sermon or hear something told many times over before you can actually get it, like seven or eight times or something like that. And so I realize that there's nothing wrong with that, but I believe in passing through this information that I covered a couple of weeks ago, I believe the Lord will give us some more out of that, because I felt like that there was a lot of things that wasn't covered that could have been brought out just in time not permitting. And so, not to bore you, not to just kind of cover things again, but in my mind, I believe we're covering new territory again this morning. And before we get into it, I just want to say a couple of things that come to mind, and I just jotted down to go with this. Could you imagine, saints, could you imagine at the end of time, when you come and stand before the Lord, and the Lord would look at you and say, "No, you cannot come in. You missed the mark." And you turn and look at me and ask me why. Could you imagine that? Neither can I. That's why I'm serious about telling you the truth. Yeah. And though I know truth hurts, there will be things that I have to say that I know that I don't want to say. But I'll have to say it anyway. Because anything that I can see in your life or whatever it is that I believe and perceive through prayer is a problem, then I'm obligated by God to express that to you.
Amen.
And so, you know, really think about it. Just about any topic that you can pick up out of scriptures, you find out that somebody could take offense to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, but really, if you want a man standing here behind the pulpit preaching to you, what do you want him to say to you? Do you want him to just tell you little you know, things that just, you know, pat you on the back and everything's fine? Or would you want him to express to you anything that he saw a problem in? And so we know that he's a watchman on the wall, and that's his job, his responsibility. He's held responsible by God that when he sees something, to declare that danger to the people. And then if the people don't hear it, and then their failure, their fault, their blood would not be on him, but on their own head because they didn't heed to it. But he's responsible. And so I don't want you to point at me at the end of time and say, "Brother Tony, I thought you were telling me what I needed to hear." I want to tell you what you need to hear. And so don't take it personal if I ever get on a topic that you feel like, "Well, that's me. That's not it at all, saints. I want to see you there. I want to see you successful in the kingdom of God. I want to see you right now successful in the kingdom of God and possessing the things that God has promised." And so to do that, I know I'll have to say things sometimes that I would in myself shy away from. And so the other thing I wanted to mention as we get into this is, remember this, the message Brother Branham preached, "Modern events are made clear by prophecy." And so I want you to remember as we go through this service this morning that when you look out at things that are going on in the world, and you know, whatever it may be, whether it's political or whatever, then you must not, saints, you must not look at those things and try to interpret the sign of the times with anything other than the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that makes the modern events clear by prophecy. Because God spoke of these days. God spoke of these days and what they would be when they come. And He spoke them in prophetic form. And they will clearly declare the hour we're in. And so when we look at this hour, let us not go to public television or radio talk show and the opinion of your neighbor and Facebook and all these other things to find out what's going on. We don't want to do that. We want to go right straight to the Scriptures, to the Word of God, because it is the thing that will declare what hour we live in. And so we want to do that. And we want to do that when we talk about the hour we're in, and that's what I endeavor to do by taking you to the life of Enoch. Now remember, before there was ever anything created, we know God is eternal, and before He created anything at all, whether it was angels or whatever it may be, that God had in Him the ability, the attributes. He had in Him the ability to be a Savior,
right,
to be a healer, to be a deliverer, a conqueror, to be a father, to be a brother. He had all these attributes in Him and yet could not display those because all of those attributes would need subjects. In order for Him to be a Savior, there would have to be people who needed to be saved. So it couldn't just be angels that were created that saying, "Holy, holy, holy," and they were just created holy beings and that's all they ever were. There would have to be some form or some fashion of a people that would actually need a Savior for Him to be able to express that attribute He had in Him. Or to be a healer, somebody had to be sick, right? We all understand that. And so, when it all unfolded, though He did not make Satan become wicked in himself, but He did create Satan in a way where Satan could corrupt himself. He was created holy. He was created, the Scripture said, perfect, talking about Lucifer. He was perfect in all His ways until iniquity was found in him. And so, we find out that in order for these attributes of God to be manifested, there had to be a devil. There had to be evil spirits. There had to be, and there has to be, great opposition. Yep. For Him to be that great, mighty conqueror to come on the battlefield and destroy your enemies, you've got to have enemies.
Yep.
So when you look out and you see the face of the times and everything that's going on and all the things mounting up that looks like they just want to just step on the Christians and do this, stomp on them and twist them in. When it all looks that way, we have to look at that and say, "You know what? It has to be that way. Because I have a conqueror and He's ready to move on the scene to conquer my enemies." Yeah. They will not snuff us out, is what we should believe. And so there has to be a devil, there has to be evil spirits, there has to be great opposition to the people of God in order for Him to be there. And God's purpose throughout all plan and all history, and especially in this last day, His purpose was to come down in the midst of all that wickedness and save the people out of the midst of all that. Yeah. No matter what hour it was in. Think about it. All the different times throughout history that God's people were always outnumbered. Whether it was in natural or supernatural, whatever it would be, it's been the common theme throughout from beginning to end that God's people were at a disadvantage, but He come on the scene as the great conqueror and delivered them.
Right.
And so that's the way it is. So we find out, I said all this to get this point, that the fact that you get up every day and you have to fight enemies, whether it's in your own flesh, whether it's in your own family with disputes, whether it's in the world, at your job, wherever it is, that's a natural part of this program of God, because He cannot show Himself to be mighty on your behalf unless you've got enemies standing there grinning at you.
Amen. Right. That's right.
It has to be that way. And so when you go to take one step toward God, you must believe that when you take that step before God, them enemies are going to rise up.
Right.
They have to. They have to get stirred up whenever you start trying to make a move toward God.
Right.
It has to be that way. But don't let that cause fear to come up on you.
Right.
You look at this and say, you know what? Here's what the program is. The program is that when that there is wicked out there, and God is a deliverer, and then He's going to come down and save His people, and when they... the program is that when they take a step, the enemy's going to get nervous. And look at that and say, you know what? When the enemy rises up because I'm trying to get closer to God, he's just doing exactly what the book said he was going to do.
That's right.
In other words, it's like a road map. And a road map says you go down here and you turn left. And when you do, you'll see a church on the right. You go down a little bit further and turn right, and you'll see a big grain silo. And you start down that road, and when you make that left turn and you see that church on the right, just like the plan says, you can say, I am right on track.
Right, right.
And I go down and make the next turn and see that grain silo on the left, you can say, I'm just exactly where the map said I'd be.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is right now with these things that we're talking about. We can look at the Word of God and know that we are right where we're supposed to be in time, and we should not be fearful.
Right.
Let Barack Obama and the whole world, United Nations, all them, let them all come together and let them take every military jet they've got and every helicopter and every nuclear missile and point them on this building right here. Let them do it if they want to.
Uh-huh. Right.
They will not succeed.
Amen.
Because they're fighting against Almighty God. They're Amen. Not fighting against the people.
Right.
When people rise up and speak against the message of the hour, they're not speaking against the prophet of God, or you or me, they're speaking against God.
Amen.
And that's all it is. And God will settle it.
Amen.
We won't settle it. Brother Branham won't settle it. God will settle it.
That's right.
And that's exactly what we will see happen. And so we really should look at it like a paradox and say, you know what? Though the flesh would look and say, man, this is scary, we should say, praise God, my deliverance is at hand.
Amen.
My deliverance is at hand, because look what the enemy's doing. He is getting nervous. Look, he is frantically digging and scratching, trying to find something he can throw at God's people to try and make them stumble. He's trying everything he can get. Why? Because the Scripture said that in this hour, right at this hour where we're close to, is that he knows that he has a short time. And he comes with great wrath. We know that hour will be in the tribulation for sure. But he's approaching that now, and so he knows this. And so it's a normal part of God's program that we have opposition. And I don't care what comes our way, our King, our Lord, and our Savior will always win. He's never lost a battle, and He never will.
Amen.
We thank Him for that. It's all throughout the Bible, in the history, where God's people were outnumbered, but He came on the scene. Now this story of Enoch, It shows that God in that hour, and we mentioned this the other day, judgment was coming on the earth. The flood was coming. God had looked and saw that man was wicked, his heart continually. In other words, when he would sit around and joke with his buddies, his jokes could not be clean jokes. They had to be filthy and smutty. And that everything that was on his mind had some debauchery in his thinking, a degrading and demoralizing of every person, especially the females. This is what we're talking about. His heart was continually evil. Continually evil. So I would say it gives us a good picture of today. And it's because of that that God said, I'm bringing judgment upon this earth. And the whole earth, every person, everything that had breath in it, would have died if God had not singled out Noah and his family. And this was to go through the flood. But before that, was types of Jews going over into through the tribulation period. Before that, God had Enoch. And it wasn't God's desire to destroy Enoch in the flood. It wasn't God's desire to take Enoch and let him float across the tribulation into the other side in a boat. It was God's desire to actually reach down in the midst of this wicked generation that was going on, that was the reason why judgment was coming. It was his desire to come down and speak and reach out and offer a plan to Enoch that Enoch could be raptured and actually taken completely out of those things and not have to go through any of it. Then the Bible declares that. That actually happened. And so this is the story of Enoch. And so God showed there that God wanted to save some people or someone from the coming judgment. And so God instigated this plan or this program. In other words, he provoked this response from Enoch. He made an offer to Enoch to walk with him. And in which we find out that Enoch did do. And he was raptured. But I also want to point out is that I believe in that hour when Enoch walked with God, then every other person on the face of the earth could have walked with God too. Yeah. I believe God, because he would extend that out. We know that even the unbeliever, he can't respond because he has nothing to respond with. The person that's not elect, we understand that. God came down and told Cain, specifically Cain, if you do this, you'll be accepted. And Cain couldn't, because he had nothing to obey with, because he wasn't in line for that. He was of that serpent seed. Not to get over on that, but just to point that out to you. God told him exactly what to do. People will say, now, if God will just come down and tell me, I'll do it. That's not so, because you'd be doing it without faith.
Right.
But you have to have faith to please God. And so God instigated this plan. He gave this opportunity to all, but all didn't come. Only one came. Enoch. Enoch is the only one that decided, you know what? I'm going to walk with God. And when I read that and I look at that, I realize, and remember, it was a wicked hour. Enoch had just as much ability to let his mind go out into the filth that the rest of the world was doing. He could have just allowed himself to live at the same way they did, and judgment would have come upon him. But Enoch made a choice. Enoch made a choice. I'm not going to walk with the world. I'm going to walk with God. And that's why it spoke of it more than once in the Scriptures. It said that Enoch walked with God. How many other people in the Bible does it say that about?
Right.
The Scripture's pointing something out there, because there was people walking with all kinds of other things, but Enoch chose to walk with God instead.
Right.
In the most wicked hour, during that hour, he walked with God. And he was the only one to come. And what we find out that God did in all this, God set in order a pattern or an end time repeat. Because you find out when God did those things in the Old Testament, they were prophecies. Prophecies to come. And so in God's economy, the way it all works out, you find out that when God said, you know what, here's a wicked generation and they're about to be destroyed from judgment, but I have a desire to save out of that wicked generation, you'll find out that what that was a type and a shadow. And when God came down and interacted in that generation with Enoch, he set in order a prophecy that must come to pass. A prophecy that said there would come another day where judgment would be coming on another people because of their wicked ways. But in that hour, God would have the same desire to reach down and save somebody out of that wicked generation and not take them through tribulation, but actually take them completely out of the earth in a rapture. That's what he was setting in order. And so when God lived this out with Enoch, it became a prophecy.
Yeah.
It became set. Spoken, that prophecy would circle the earth, until an hour would come when that wicked people would rise on the scene, and that prophecy circling the earth would finally come down and anoint a people and cause that people to be the Enochs of this last day.
Amen. Yeah.
And those people would be made to be delivered from this judgment to come, not go through tribulation like the foolish virgin and die martyrs for their testimony and for Jesus, but actually go to heaven in a Cadillac.
Yeah.
And actually miss the whole thing altogether. Why? Because she meets the same criteria Enoch met. Because anytime God, someone approaches God with a certain faith on a certain thing, and God answers that person, then everyone that comes under that same purpose, he has to answer it the same way or he did wrong the first time.
Right.
So when he answered Enoch's response to what God had offered him that day, when Enoch responded that way, God is set in stone a prophecy, and God is now obligated, saints, he's obligated to take that pattern, and he has to do it today.
Amen.
It has to be a seventh generation from an Adam, and we find out the scriptures say Jesus was the last Adam, not the second, but the last, because there won't be any more. And that there's seven generations or seven church ages from Jesus Christ, as we know it declared. So it's this day God is absolutely obligated to take someone out of this tribulation before it comes.
Amen.
He has to.
Amen.
Or he's not God. He has to, or he did wrong the first time. And God don't make mistakes.
Amen.
So he has to do it, saints. So what am I telling you? There has to be a wicked generation, a generation so wicked that God says, I've had it, I've got to get rid of them. And at the same time, when that happens, God has to be willing, and he will express and pour out his spirit on the earth to find some Enochs. And it won't be just one man, because God does things where there's life in it. Mm-hmm. When God does stuff, there's life. Right. And when God does something, he's good at planting a seed, one seed, and getting a harvest. And so he had one seed, Enoch, who believed God and was raptured, and that was a plant that God planted in the earth. And over here in this day, in harvest time, there's going to be a whole multitude. I don't say how many it is, but it's going to be more than one. But there's going to be a lot of people who are raptured because they believed and they met the same circumstances, and God is obligated to make that come to pass.
Right.
He has to. So when he did that, he set in order something that God would do in our day. And he has to do it again. Upon what basis did he rapture Enoch? What did he not do? What could he do? But what did he do that actually made him a part of this rapture process? Well, the scriptures gives us basically two indications there. And then, by the way, as it comes to mind, it came to mind as I was reading there just a minute ago, Enoch had children, but they weren't raptured. Enoch had children. And not to say that your children might not be raptured. That's not what I'm saying. But it's an individual relationship.
That's right.
And so Enoch responded and Enoch was raptured. And and so upon what basis? Well, the scriptures tell us that one, as Enoch walked with God. We've already mentioned it. He walked with God. And the other thing said that he pleased God. He had a testimony before his rapture, while he was still walking in flesh, while he still had aches and pains in his body, while he still had to eat and sleep, and he still had to interact with this world, while all that's going on, in other words, while he was still doing the same thing you do every day, while that was going on, Enoch was walking with God and was pleasing God. So it tells you that he had to be walking by faith, because you can't please God without faith. Read Hebrews 11. You have to have faith to please God. In other words, there has to be a revelation there. A revelation for him to believe in, and it wouldn't be totally clear to him, but he would believe it was right. And then he would walk by that while the rest of the world was looking at him laughing and ridiculing. He was walking by something that said, this word of God is right, and I'm walking with it regardless of what the world does. I'm staying with this. And he had to do that by faith. And he suffered greatly because he did that by faith. But that showed that he had faith, because he was willing to put works in place.
Yeah.
And it showed that he believed. And so you see what I'm saying. That's the hour he lived in, and that's what happened. So there was a revelation there, and he believed it. And in the physical, he would have suffered much. But he had to walk with God. And that revelation told him, I cannot walk with the world. That revelation told him, I've got to be separate from the world because judgment's coming up on them and I can't be in that rank. I've got to be a different people. And so his relationship and his walking with God declared to him what that must be, but he had to believe it by faith. Yeah. And that's what happened. Now, he walked with God and he pleased God. When I think of walking with someone, who wants to walk with me for a minute? I always pick on Brother Daniel. Brother, let me pick on you today. We're going to walk together. Come on, brother. We're just going to walk. How you doing?
Everything's doing all right?
You feeling good? You healthy?
Everything's all right.
Got anything you need help with?
Anything like that? No?
Good time.
Listen, I'm really happy with a friend, brother. It's been a real blessing to know me. Why not walk with a friend?
Yeah, this is good. You know what? We walk. Now you can sit down, brother. I want to show you something here. When I think of walking, there are several things that come to mind, and so I put them down here, but I think of friendship. Friendship, I think of time. I think of distance. I think of change. Now let me tell you why I'm saying those things. Because we set out to walk together. It took time for us to do that.
Yeah.
In other words, our choice to walk with each other, there was time for it to be tested. Will we keep walking? Will we truly get along? Will there be a disagreement? Will we part our ways? We walk together, and so it took time for that, and time speaks of the ability for it to be tested. And so the time was a testimony there. Enoch walked with God, and it showed that what was in Enoch was in tune with God because he continued to walk with God and didn't part ways. So you see what I'm saying? So we can't expect in our hour, if we want to walk with God, we can't expect that we come into service one morning and we give our heart to God and he raptures us right then. Because there's a testing and there's a trying and there's a battlefield that has to be put in array. An enemy to stand up and say, I'm going to annihilate you Christians. That has to happen. And we've got to keep walking with God.
That's right.
Keep right on walking and say, Lord, I love you. I love this walk. I love what you're giving me and helping me with in this hour. And I know those enemies are out there, but Lord, I love you and I will walk with you regardless.
Amen.
And whatever they want to do, I'm going to walk with you, Lord. And so they just keep walking. So it speaks of friendship. It speaks of time. It speaks of a commitment to walk together.
Amen.
A commitment that we are birds of a feather. That's what the walk is all about. And so he walked, and in all that, he walked with God, and he walked with God, and he was tested, and all that wicked generation that was fixing to be destroyed was constantly pounding on Enoch. That's the way the devil works. The devil's not a gentleman that says, can I influence you? So the devil is, I'm not even going to try and pick a name for it, but he forces himself on you. Right. And so that generation, no doubt, they just hammered Enoch. But Enoch walked with God.
Amen.
And so God took him in a rapture. That's the basis. It wasn't a strength that Enoch had in himself. It wasn't anything except God had extended that opportunity to him. And Enoch had something in him that said, you know what? I believe this. And I'm going to walk with God. And so he did that in the face of all the wicked generation. And you know, God's got to have somebody to judge this generation.
Yeah.
He's got to. And so, I don't believe Brother Branham's going to necessarily be the only one to judge this generation. I believe we will. Not that we want to, because we want people to be saved. But you know what? God has a line in the sand where he draws it. And when that people cross that line, there's no help for them after that. We don't know what that is. They don't know when that is. But God knows when that is. And when they step across that, out of time into eternity, in a lost condition, the way the tree falls, that's the way it lays. And they will meet God, and they'll meet you and I, and there won't be mercy at that time because they rejected it over here when there was time and there was mercy. And so we do believe that God works that way. And so we find out also, I mentioned the other day, that Enoch was a revelated man. Enoch walked with God. And because he was friends with God and he walked with God and they were close, God showed him things to come. Now I want to ask you something. Oh, do we not have a wicked generation? Do we not have some Enochs in this hour? Have they not been walking with God? And has there not been some revelation of things to come given to her, to the Enoch of this day? Absolutely, there has. And so you find out in the book of Jude, Jude talks about these men who crept into the church unaware. And they were men of old, ordained to this condemnation. And these men would come into the church and they were spots in your feast when they feast among you. When you come to church and they'd set, in other words, Enoch saw the other spirit that was in the framework of the church, the false spirit that came in religious, that sat amongst the real spirit. So Enoch saw the two spirits in the framework of the church, and the scripture said in Jude there, these men crept in unaware, and they were sitting in the church, and they were spots in your feast, and it said, and Enoch prophesied of these. It said, the Lord's coming with all his saints and bringing judgment upon them. So Enoch saw the spirits in the framework of the church, and saw the judgment that was coming, and what's the very revelation that's been given to you and I this hour is to understand that other spirit in that the framework of the church, and by God's Spirit withstand it, then we become an invincible army.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And that's the only way it'll work, saints. That's the only way that we'll be invincible. That's the only way we will beat our enemy, is when we, by God's Spirit, recognize those false things and by God's Spirit withstand those things. And Enoch was someone who was able to know those things. So, I would say that if here we are in this hour and we know judgment's coming, so we know that meets with the type. And there's a people now who's walking with God when the rest of the world wants to make fun of it. That meets the type. And we find out these people who's walking with God, they understand things that nobody else understands because God is giving it to them. That meets the time. So I want to show you that we, as a people, believing God's great message for this hour, walking with God and not walking with this world, we are the Enochs of this day.
Right.
And when we look at the roadmap and we say, you know what? It was a wicked generation. Yep, roadmap says it is. God had an Enoch. Yep, we got an Enoch. Then we know what the map is telling us. We know what's coming, saints. We know that translation. Why would God not finish the rest of it? If he's done this part so far according to the plan, why wouldn't he go ahead and finish it? He will finish it. But you've got to continue to walk with God. And so you find out that he knew things. God always tells his secrets to his friends and his buddies. Buddies, and they talk and share with one another, right? They share deep things with one another. God came down in another hour when he was going to bring judgment to Sodom and Gomorrah. And God came down because, you know, it's not God's desire just to flat out destroy. He's got to warn people. And so he came down, and you find out that he was going to have to go judge Sodom. And he came down and spoke to Abraham and said, shall I hide from Abraham? Shall it be hid from Abraham what God's fixing to do? And so God began to share what was going on. And it gave room for Abraham to intercede for his fallen brother and intercede for that city. So Abraham began to say, Lord, surely you won't destroy the righteous with the wicked. And he began to say, Lord, well, if you find 50 in that city, will you spare the city for the 50's sake? And God said, yep, I will. But what about 40? Lord, if it's just 40 people, because I think Abraham knew it was Slim Pickens over there in Sodom.
Right.
Well, what he was shooting for was his fallen brother, who he at one time had had fights with, but now he's praying for that brother. And so he's fighting and he's contending with God like we would in prayer. Lord, I know that they've turned against us. Lord, save them. Don't burn them up with this generation. Bring mercy to them, Lord. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so Abraham just interceded. Got it down. I think got down to 5. Lord, there's just 5 people there. Well, or 10. I forget the number. But there wasn't. And so yet God was still faithful. He went, and even though there wasn't that minimum number that Abraham looked for, he went ahead and took out Lot and his wife and his two daughters. And took them out. And went ahead and judged the city and let them escape. So you find out God shares his secret thing. He shares his battle plans. He shares what he's going to do with his people. And so what we want to find out from all this is that when I said upon what basis did Enoch get raptured, it was because of what I just described. In the face of opposition, he walked with God by faith with a revelation. And that's what took him out of this world. So it does matter how we walk, saints. It does matter what we walk with or who we walk with in this hour.
That's right.
It does matter what we spend our time doing, how we spend our time. It does matter what we do with our phones and with our computers. And if you have a TV, which you don't, I hope you don't. But if you do, it matters. See, it does matter. It does matter what you say. It does matter the influence that you give and the influence you receive from those around you because you're walking.
Right.
You're walking with people. So it does matter what your influence is and how you influence. It does matter for you to be a birds of a feather walking together in the revelation of Jesus Christ and walking in your unity. And time will tell whether you're truly in unity or not.
That's right. Yeah.
Things will rise up. And so we must stay focused that the Spirit in us and the Spirit in each other and each one of us is in agreement with God and with each other that we can continue to walk with God. And I want to continue to remember to tell you to remember that it is an individual walk. But listen, if I'm walking true with God and I stay with Him and Brother Daniel's walking true with God and he stays with God, Brother Daniel and I will be together.
Amen.
And we'll all be together. And so it does matter how we walk. It does matter how we spend our time. It does matter what you do on Sunday morning.
That's right.
And Wednesday nights. And it does matter if you have a prayer life or not. That you have a daily devotion, a daily time. You know, I was up this morning, and the Lord just wakes you up sometimes, and sometimes it's just a really good time. And I was praying for the needs of the church and for what's going on in the message and all that. And while I was praying, the Lord spoke 5 words to me. And it just opened up my eyes to what we do when we don't have a dedicated life of communication with God. Mm-hmm. It was quite a rebuke. And I'll have to share it with you. Not today. But I will. Lord willing, I will. And so we find out it does matter how we walk and what we walk with and what we do and what we spend our time doing and what you click on and what you say.
Right.
All those things matter. It's Satan's job to make you think they don't matter. But the Bible says the little fox is full of iron. We're all the time out here shooting at the big things, trying to handle big things that we think that God... But it's a little bitty stuff we leave undone that actually kills us. In our walk. And so that's the thing I'm talking about. We have to walk with God and not with something else. Not with Facebook. And that's one of the things I've noticed. These young people, I've watched it. They have something come up and they want to... let me just see what so-and-so thinks. You better see what God thinks.
Amen.
Not so-and-so. God. Because so-and-so is not going to help you have a body change. So-and-so is not going to help you get clean from your sins. God is.
Right.
And it's amazing to me, I've been guilty of it too, it's amazing to me how that Satan will come along and distract us from the things God has for us and lie to us and make us miss the mark and that sort of thing. And we chase after vain glories. Something that looks so good, and I've said it before, you think it's going to be so great, and then you finally get it, and you turn it out 2-3 weeks later, it's not so great. It's like that with a new car.
Right.
Every time anybody's ever got another vehicle, oh man, look, I got some new wheels. You know, and it's great, it's wonderful, and about 2 months later, especially if you got a payment. Right? 2 months later, the glory is faded off of it, and guess what? Don't stop there. Another thing comes up before you. Oh,
right.
I want that. It's that carrot before the horse. Satan's a master at that.
That's right.
He's a master at that. He likes to hide things. He'll never tell you where that carrot's leading you. But God is right out in the open and tells you exactly what He wants, what He's got to offer for you. He don't lie to you. He don't make you think it's one thing and give you something else. He tells you right out what He's here to give you. Life.
eternal.
Amen.
No lies, no tricks, no nothing. He just gives it to you, gives it out. But Satan's the one that is a deceiver. And so, it does matter who we walk. And so what I want to say, saints, is, and I'm saying this to the Christians, and if you can't say that you've got the Holy Ghost and you know God abides within you, then you need to work on that first. But once you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got an experience with God, then you need to walk with God daily until that Spirit of God in you is satisfied that you are walking separate from the world sufficiently. We've got to satisfy the Spirit within us that it is happy, saints. Because as long as he's not happy, there's condemnation in us.
That's right.
And as long as there's condemnation in us, that's something Satan will put his finger on. Anytime you come to a trial, anytime you need God, you need him to come on the scene, guess who's standing on? Yeah, but.
That's right.
That's exactly the way it works. It'll be that way always. So we must walk with God sufficiently until the Spirit of God in us is satisfied that I am clean from this world. Because the Scripture says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction, and that you keep yourself unspotted from this world. But you know what? I can have really clean clothes on. And one of the best ways that I can get unspotted is to walk somewhere. Brush up against something that's dirty. So it's part of God's program. We've got to walk, which means there are dangers, there are criticisms, there are spirits, there are people that want to tell you something, their opinion about the message or whatever. There are those things, and they will spot you like those people that crept in unaware. They will spot, they have spots among your feet, and they will spot you and put so that your garment is not clean and white. Everybody understand?
Yeah.
He's coming for a wife that's in white garment. No rot or no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, right? That's what he's coming for. And so you gotta walk because Enoch had to walk. We've got to walk. We gotta show that we're willing to stay with God.
Yeah.
And while that happens, there's all kinds of things to spot us and to get us filthy, and we have to learn this process on how to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. God's got a way. We make mistakes, but he's got a way to clean those quickly.
Amen.
So we can keep walking. And so we have to do that. And so you walk with him until that Spirit within you is satisfied. And it has to be Holy Spirit in you, because if it's a devil that's in you, he'll be satisfied but you're not walking with God.
Right.
But it's got to be Spirit of God that's in you, is satisfied that you're walking sufficiently with God, that you are not spotted with this world. In other words, all the things that corrupt their mindset and make them misunderstanding the Word of God and make them have wrong marriages because they approach it wrong and you name it, whatever else, that we are sufficiently separated from that, that we're not walking like they do. We don't think the way they do. We don't dress the way they do. We don't go the places they do. We don't click on the things they do. We don't talk about the things they do.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do until that Spirit in us is satisfied. I'm never thirsty when I preach, but for some reason today I need it. And so, thank the Lord that it's here. And so, we want to walk until that Spirit is satisfied. And then when that Spirit is satisfied and we're walking with him, then he will drop into our hearts what we should desire and what we should want daily. And he will never call for something that he hasn't equipped you with. So while we walk with him, he will drop into your heart the right desire of what he wants to give to you. He'll drop a desire and you'll begin to want the very thing he wants to give you. You'll begin to want that because it's a deep calling of the deep. And you can't want it unless it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God's a master of this.
Right.
So he drops into your heart what to desire for because he wants to give it to you. And then you turn around and express that. And we have to go through the mechanics of these things. God's just not going to say, well, I can see in her heart. She wants it, so I'll give it. You've got to turn around and minister back to him. You've got to show by your walk that you want these things, that you want to be separate from the world, that you want him and nothing else. You just want him and you want his program. So he'll put that in you. You turn around and respond back with it, and he'll give it to you.
That's right.
He'll give to you what you're looking for. And what you'll find out is that Spirit will cause you to want to leave this world.
Yeah.
Because you'll find out, Lord, there's no place I can go. Everywhere I turn wants to spot me. Everywhere I go wants to put filth on my garments so that I can't stand before you, holy and righteous, Lord. And this is where we're at, saints, are we not?
Amen.
That's exactly what's going on. And so we get in the place of, Lord, I'm not comfortable here anymore. I want out of here. I got to go somewhere to be with you because this is not fit anymore. So he'll place that longing for a body change. And Scripture says, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Last Revelation. So you see, it's right in the Scriptures. God will minister into us a call for a rapture. And we'll be longing for it. We turn around and give that back to Him in prayer. Give back to Him in our walk, showing Him, this is what we want, Lord. We don't want to be here anymore.
Amen.
And He'll give it to us. He will give it to us. Because He promised He would. As long as we're comfortable in this world, we're not going to long for Him. As long as everything's just fine and all the needs are met and there's no troubles and all that sort of thing. And I know we have troubles, but you see, there's still a level of our life that's comfortable. And I will tell you right now, saints, that's something God's going to have to touch.
Yeah.
And only He knows what it is in your life, but I can tell you it's the same worldwide. That God's people, they are called, and though they are the Enochs, there's a certain level of comfort that God's going to have to destroy because is still holding them to the point that they're not truly completely submitted to Him and crying out, God, let me walk with you and not the world. I want out of here.
Man.
So they're still kind of, well, we're comfortable. And so within our ranks, we find out that we know that we're not quite there, and somehow we're okay with that. And as long as that's the way it is, we're sitting in the eagle's nest. We're not flying.
Yeah.
You see? So as long as we're happy, We won't be seeking God like we should as long as we've got some element of comfort there. But I want to ask you something, saints. What do we think God will do to get us where we need to be? What extent will God go to make us truly cut the last ties with this world and go straight to Him and seek His face and show by our daily walk that we are cut off from this world? What will He do to bring that to pass? What do we think He's capable of? Is He capable of just making things a little bit rough for you? We talk about the eagle. That eagle's sitting there in the nest and it's beginning to get bigger. A mama, papa eagle, they're looking at them, and mama, papa eagle saying, you know what? You got a fly come, and she calls for them and they won't come. And so you see, so the mama eagle has to go in there and begin to pull all the feathers and all that nice stuffing out, and that reveals that there's really thorns laying in there. And now it becomes uncomfortable, and the thorns make the eagle decide, you know what, I don't want to be here. I want to get out there. So what you find there is the comfort of the nest wins in the beginning.
Yeah.
The comforts of this world wins in the beginning. And mama eagle is crying, you can be raptured, you can fly like me, you can be like me because you're my child. And the comfort saying, no, I'm afraid of that. That's an area I've never been to before. I don't know how to walk by faith. I'll just stay right here in my little comfort zone in my little corner of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is. It's that way. But you find out that Mama Eagle knows that, you know what? You'll die if you don't leave that nest. The weather's going to change. And your life is what's in you. You will not survive if you stay in that nest. And so Mama Eagle knows that. And Mama Eagle comes down and starts pulling things out. And now that fear of going out there into the unknown and soaring like God, now that becomes more attractive than the nest. And the nest becomes something we don't want anymore.
Right.
This is the cycle that we must come to, saints. So you can expect God to pull the stuffing out of your nest. And when it happens, especially in this hour, when it happens, don't criticize your brother. Don't criticize the world. Don't criticize Obama or somebody or whatever else is going on, your boss, your job, whatever. Don't criticize that. Look right straight to the Word of God. Says, you know what? I need to be wanting God more than I want this comfort.
Amen.
That's what we've got to come to. And so God, how much would he go forth to touch that? What would he do to get our attention? What would he be capable of to make us actually say, I'm ready, Lord? Well, let me tell you what. I'm so glad for a prophet that would allow us to see some things that you and I would have never saw without that being brought to our attention. There were 6 million Jews through the Holocaust. And you know what happened to them. How many knows what happened to the Jews? You can't imagine the nonsense. The way that you talk about wicked. You want to know if there's a devil, you get a book on that and see. You'll find out there's a devil. And he anointed some people. And they did things that I couldn't even do to a dog or to an animal. But anybody's got any kind of heart in them whatsoever could not treat and kill people and do those things like that. And so what I want to show you there is that they come under that bitter persecution. They came under that bitter persecution by Hitler and Mussolini and Eichmann and Stalin. But there was a purpose for that. We didn't know it. We just saw it as being something. But Brother Van came along and he said that was the tender hand of Jehovah.
Yeah.
And here's what it was. Israel was given their promised land. And as long as they're in their promised land, that's the same thing as you and I having the Holy Ghost. And as long as they're there, their enemies could not defeat them. That's the promised land, and their promise that God will come in the Messiah and meet them right there. But if they're off out here somewhere in some other nation, he can't fulfill that. He cannot come to them the way he wants to come to them because they're out there. And so his prophecy is stronger. His desire for them is stronger than anything else. And so what does he do? He goes out there and he says, you know what? You're comfortable out there. You've got the spirit of Jacob on you, which is financially blessed. I am going to have to bring a persecution on you. I won't take away your financial blessing because that's an anointing on you. But I'll bring a persecution. I will allow these men to rise up and persecute you and make you no longer comfortable in the nest. And then when that happened, the Jews went home to Israel.
Yeah.
Now they're in a place where that he can come and fulfill his prophecy and the way he wants to come and come to them. Now he can come to them because they're in the position for him to come to them. So how serious can God get to get people where they should be? I don't want to challenge God on this, saints. If I've still got things in my life that's holding me back from being truly walking with God like Enoch, I don't want to challenge God and say, you come get me, God. You don't want to do that. Because God's got some Hitlers that he can let go of. It's not his, but you know what I'm saying. He just simply pulls his hand back and lets Satan move. Because Satan wants to destroy you anyway. Right? Satan's out to get you anyway, and God's holding him back. So all God has to do is say, okay, Satan, just like with Job, go out and afflict him, but you can't kill him. So you see, God's pretty serious about it, saints.
Yeah.
And you may not believe what I'm telling you right now. I hope everybody's awake listening.
Right.
You may not believe it right now, but you will before it's over with.
Yeah.
If we don't let go of the things of the world and get with God,
yeah,
we're going to have some rough times. Because I do believe we are the children of God. I do believe we are the Enochs for this day. I do believe we're the eagles in the nest who are being called to fly. I do believe it.
Yeah.
Why would God have brought us across the truths that we have and done the things that he's done with us and kept us as long as he has in this way that we're walking if he wasn't serious?
Right.
He's going to do it. But saints, let me implore you to examine your life, and if you're holding back somewhere, get in prayer about that. Maybe you don't know how to give it up. But give it to God and say, Lord, you do it. You're my king and my guide and my helper. Lord, you help me. I don't know. I foul things up, but you can fix it.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want to do, just do it. And I think that's what we can say. Because God can still have a tender hand of a Jehovah, and he will do it again. He sure will. We don't want to miss rapture. We don't want to go the way the foolish virgins go. I said earlier we can go to heaven in a Cadillac. Foolish virgins, they've got to go there. They've got to take this long, bumpy journey that you and I get to take in a Cadillac to get into the presence of God. They have to go on a bumpy wagon with no padded seats.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough for them. But they'll get there. They'll get there later, and they'll get there all bruised up and beat.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? There's another people that we know that comes up at the end of the millennium. People who were good to God's people and didn't know they were. And those people will be able to get there too. They don't know it, but by the mercy and grace of God, they'll get there just like we did. But you know what? They don't even get to go in a bumpy wagon. They have to walk. It's going to be a lot rougher on them. Because the foolish virgins are saved when they get there in the tribulation period, already saved. And so once they die, the martyr's dead. They're not going to go over there and tremble and all that. See, God's going to give that to them based upon. But that other group's going to have to come up in judgment as a lost people and stand before God's great bleachers of people. And somebody's going to say, "Father, they gave me something to drink. They helped me." And they'll stand there in that judgment until at least that point they hear the verdict and God says, "Enter in."
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough. You don't want to stand before an awesome God without mercy between you and Him. And so God will do it. He will. He knows what He's doing, and He will make us loose from this world if we don't willingly give it up. Like I said, Mama Eagle knows good and well that that baby can't live there. And I believe God knows that this world's getting so bad that it's just not fit for us. That we cannot, that baby eagle should go through a process of growing up and learning to fly and being strong and all that. And Mama Eagle knew, you know what? That process is going to stop right here if that eagle doesn't come out of that nest. They won't be able to go through the process of becoming that adult. And God knows that this bride people are coming to a place where we have got to change dimensions. We have to get out of here. And so He's calling for it. And saints, you may not believe it, but He will approach us and touch those things. He probably is already. I think I could go ahead and say that Satan is already touching those things in our life, and we fail to see what's going on. We fail to see that we're in that cycle. We are in that hour where He's calling, and He's saying, "Come," and we have it. And so now He's beginning to pull those feathers and pull that stuff. We've heard that for years, but saints, may I clench it like a nail that needs to be clenched in wood. God is ready to change us. He's ready to take us to a different level. And so I have inquired, I don't have a lot of ministry friends, but I have inquired, and I have written some text and said, "Brother, tell me, what is the Lord dealing with you on?" To find out. I know that I've had, you know, Brother Ben Beard was telling me the other day, and I know what I feel the Lord telling me. And so I inquire, perhaps, you know, if that's what's going on worldwide, well then, this is what we're going to find out elsewhere. And I'm very pleased with what I hear. And so I just want to say this, is that saints, I believe right now, and I'm not talking about just in this assembly, I'm talking about worldwide in the bride movement. Right now, there is a rustling in the mulberry tree, in the mulberry bush. There is. In other words, when God said, "You got an enemy, you need direction from me to conquer," you sit right there, but when you hear that rustling, you rise up and you go meet your enemy. And you'll destroy him. And I think we've waited for many years for a rustling. We've waited for many years for God to get us into a place where we can understand and realize who we are. And I believe we are approaching that right now. And I believe there is a move right now, a definite, firm, definite move of the Holy Ghost right now, extending an opportunity to this people, to this bright message, to come up higher. If it's not for our body changes, and I'm not trying to say it is that, but for a higher, closer, successful walk where we begin to see the things that we know should be among us to the level. There's things among us to a level, but to the level we know it should be, that it's on the move right now. And I can say with all my heart, saints, if you don't want it, you've got the wrong guy back here. Because all I know to do is tell you it's there. All I can do is when God's dealing with me, and especially when, you know, I can go and I can ask, and I see that God's doing the same thing elsewhere, I know it's a move of God, and I see it in His Word, then I want you to follow that. And I want you to go with it. I want to go with it. It reminds me of when the children of Israel were following Joshua. And they said, you know what? These priests are going to take that ark, and the ark is the word. And you're going to see them, and when you see them step off in that water, when you see them go, you follow them. Why? It's when the ministry takes this word of God and they show you the journey that you're on. And these people were watching the priest with that word go. And they went down and they went there to put their feet in the water, and the water spread like it did with Moses, and they went right across. And so that's what I'm saying. When you see the ministry begin to rise up, and you see them showing you in the Word, and you see them packing this message, taking you where you've never been before, you go with it.
Yeah.
Because God's moving. And He's working. If you don't believe it, and I'll say the same, I want everybody here that I can. Not because I want a lot of people here, but because I want people to be blessed. I want to see them come to this rapture. I do. And so I want you here. I want your children here. I want your spouses here. I want all of them here. But I will also say this, but if this is not the place where you're getting fed, don't be here, because you're hindering yourself and this assembly if that's the case. So if Satan's got in the way and you're not happy here, fight for what's right. Get in and push like the rest of the people would. Or if it's not for you, find the place where you belong, because we quickly need to be in our place in the body. Brother Daniel, Brother Daniel hit it last week. So I can feel it all the way to the pulpit. See? Because it's a spiritual warfare that's going on. And so we want to do that. We want everybody in their spot. But saints, God has got a move for us right now. Not something that will be, something that was, but something we have right now. And we know what we've got to do. We know what the holdup is. And so there it lays before us. And so I believe God's got something. And there will be some, maybe not in this church, I pray not. There are always some that hold back, that won't go.
Yeah.
Saints, don't let that be you.
Amen.
Don't let that be you. If you don't know how to tackle your own enemies, then pray, God, you come down and show. You deal with it. Lord, I don't know. But I guarantee you, saints, if you'll start walking with Him more consistently, He'll start helping you more. And you'll begin to see more. And you'll see where you're wrong and where you need correction. And He'll fix those things for you, as long as that's what it's all about. It's not about you being some Superman. It's about you knowing how to submit. Walk with Him and submit to Him and let Him fix it. Because He's going to fix it for you if you'll let Him. And that's all it's pertaining to. And so I will tell you, saints, I will try my best to obligate you to this move of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to find every way I can. I'll tell you, saints, I'm going to seek God for Him to give me every way that I can say it, that I can present it, that I can show it, to cause you to latch on and obligate you to this leadership of God's movement right now, what He's trying to do. I'll do everything I can, and I pray that you don't feel like I'm trying to trick you, until I'm not. But that's just how much I'm serious about my responsibility to tell you the gospel and to tell you what you need to hear. And so I'll do what I can, and I pray that you get on board, that you find out, you know what? God is moving. We've walked this walk long enough.
Yeah.
It's time for a change. And so I sit down, I'll come here, and I'll read another quote or two that goes with that. And I read this quote the other day. Brother Graham said, and only believe. He said, now wouldn't that be nice if we had a testimony like that? He's talking about Enoch. He said, I do only that which pleases God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Like Enoch. He walked with God, and he said he had a testimony that he pleased God, and he didn't have to die. He just went up. So then, little afternoon stroll, he just started walking out, and Brother Branham's trying to present it in a way you can understand. He said he just thought, well, you know, I've been on earth a long time. I've been here, been on earth long enough, excuse me. And he said, you know, I'll just walk up, and just started by faith. He thought, well, I've been here long enough, and I'm kind of tired of being around here. That's the part I want you to see. Brother Branham said that Enoch said, you know what, I got tired. I'm tired of being here. And so he just went on and strolled right on up to heaven. Another quote, Brother Branham said, in God's only provided place of worship, he said, notice, Enoch, God's perfect reflector and type. When God was through with him, he just translated him and took him up. The mechanics, now, Enoch was a reflector. So Enoch is reflecting to all around him the Word of God, right? So he says now he was a perfect reflector in type, and he said the mechanics that he had reflected, so what life was he reflecting? A life of walking with God, a life of pleasing God. That was the mechanics of his life, and those mechanics didn't rapture him. But listen to the rest of the quote. The mechanics that he had reflected become dynamics with the Spirit, and it took him up. So saints, you find out that the very walk that we walk as Enoch walked, the very image that we present as walking with God and being a testimony that God is pleased with our walk, even though they think not, that is the very mechanics that we have to have, and the Holy Spirit falls on those mechanics someday because we're walking that way and quickens us. But if we don't walk with God, is there anything for Him to quicken? I'd say not. So that's what we have to do. We want to keep walking with Him. Luke chapter 16, verse 16 says, the law and the prophets were until John. But since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So it's a press. It's a press. I love the Psalms. The song Brother Tim and Sister Brittany sung there. If He took it all away. And I wrote that down right beside my note word. What would God do? What would He actually go to do if He had it? Be a tender hand of Jehovah. What would we be willing for Him to take completely away from us before? Would we still serve Him? Would we still follow Him? And so, there's a press. I'm reaching out to God. Men press their way into it. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I forget those things behind me. I can't do nothing about those. Or something to repent of and get right, do it. But that's past is past. And I'm not going to let that hinder me, but this one thing I will do, I'll press toward that mark. Because there's a calling, there's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And there's a prize for that call.
Yeah.
There's a prize for it. And I'm pressing for that mark. I will not be satisfied, and I won't let anything hinder me until I reach that place, until I have that prize in my hand where God says, well done. You know, and that's, and you know what I'm saying there, that you're in my bride, and you're raptured, your body changed. And so that's what we want. And so I think I've delivered what was on my heart today about Enoch. You find out that it's very clear before us, saints. Very clear before us. What we want to do is to obey God in every way and just be a friend to God. Walk with God. Let's bow our hearts and let the musicians come. Amen. Have any, before we pray, if you don't have to, if you don't want to, I'm not so much about how we're showing. If you want to lift your hand, you can. But how many would say, Lord, I need help here. What I've heard today. I hear it. I know it's true. I see it in my life. And I want help, Lord. And I promise to you, Lord, that I will believe. And I will look to you and ask for help and follow you and seek you daily for that. How many would do that? Amen. I raise my hand because I know that's the only way it comes. Let's just want to pray just for a moment. Lord Jesus, God, man stands here, delivers what's upon his heart, Lord. He comes to a place, Lord, where he feels like everything that was in there on his pitchfork, Lord, has just laid it out there. Lord, he just comes to a place where he doesn't have anything else to say in himself. And Lord, it's at that time that as a minister of the gospel, we just have to commit it to you. And Lord, just believe, Lord, that if it was presented in a way that was mixed up or anything like that, Lord, that you would straighten it out in the minds of the people. But we just commit it to you, Lord, knowing, God, that these words that I have spoken, Lord, I've spoken with a clear conscience. And Lord, I believe I can say, and I believe with all my heart, I've never, from the first sermon I've ever preached, Lord, I've never held back anything that I believe to be true from any people anywhere. I've always tried, Lord, to tell the truth the best I was able to do it. And God, this morning, I've done that this morning. I have declared, Lord, what I believe your scriptures tell us that our present day walk is, Lord. We have people, Lord, in all of us, there's attributes that we allow things to get in our way. And Lord, some more than others in different ways, but we all have enemies, Lord, that we fight and we somehow have become comfortable with our Goliaths hanging around. But I pray, God, that as I have delivered this morning, Lord, your people would understand that I give it in love, I give it in truth, Lord, and I commit it to God, I commit them to God, Lord, that their walk would change and increase. And Lord, that somehow they would find out in their spiritual walk their strength, Lord, that white dog, though he may be so weak, that God, that somehow he would raise up once again and feed on the Word of God and cause the black dog to begin to die, to begin to lose strength. Lord, that they would somehow stir themselves, realizing this hour that we're in. God, I pray that you would help us and let your mercy and grace, Lord, may it be multiplied greatly to us. Lord, because we don't want to miss it that day. We don't want to find out when we get to the end, Lord, that there was something laying there. Lord, no doubt we will have known all along. And Lord, I just pray that through the ministry of your word, through what you do, Lord, that you reveal and bring to light those things that are hindering us, God. And Lord, may each one of us be in revival. Lord, no longer to be satisfied with the status quo in the message, Lord, but we would be longing and be, as your prophet said, sighing and crying with you and agonizing with you to fulfill your word.
Yes.
We ask, God, that you do that. Lord, fulfill your word among us.
Yes.
Lord, whatever it is you're doing, keep doing it. Yes. Move this people out of the seat of do-nothing and into a righteous faith and action.
Yes.
Lord, bless every home. Lord, with firmness and sturdiness. And a call to attention of the Word of God in this hour.
Yes.
Lord, because this day will fold to an end someday soon. Lord, in that time, we want to all be there. I don't want to see any of them missing, Lord. I don't want to be missing. And I want to be truthful. And Lord, I pray that even not just in this place, not in this room, not just in with people here, Lord, but in our private time, Lord, that each one of us be victorious. Lord, as your servant David, when he failed privately, he was defeated multitudes over out in the open. But God, when he also won victories privately, he won great victories in major ways openly. God, I know that's the case. May it go right back to our homes, right back to our secret times, our secret places, our secret thoughts. And may in that time, oh God, would be brought before us by your Holy Spirit, that right here is where the victory's won.
Yes.
That we surrender to you now in our prayer closet and in those times when nobody's looking. Lord, that we come victorious then.
Yes.
And oh God, that we would realize that by faith, that when we do that, these great enemies standing before us will fall like Goliath fell. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to grasp this. Take it into our hearts totally, completely. Let nothing hinder again. No more hindrance, Lord. Let a true faith on fire for you.
Yes.
We ask, God, you give that to your people. Lord, teach us to worship. Allow us, God, to come into your presence with thanksgiving, with singing, with rejoicing, and giving you the honor and praise that you deserve and no one else deserves it. Just you and you alone, Lord. That's the cry of my heart, and you know it is, Lord, by my prayers and by what I believe you put in my heart. This people will shine with the glory of the gospel of God.
Yes.
that there not be a feeble one among us. There not be sick among us. There not be any needs, Lord, that they come, and yet what, Lord, that you answer them and you deliver them. And that there will be wayward loved ones come. God, this onslaught of Satan in the message, Lord, you'll go out and you'll show them spirits. Not the people, they've just been lied to. But you'll go out and you'll show them those spirits to be the liars. And to be just a spirit to cause death and destruction and to bring people to Christ's grave. Lord, just go out and take care of those things. We commit it to you. And while you work and while we wait for you to work and bring that to pass and bring our people in underneath this glorious gospel, Lord, while we wait for you by faith, we'll walk with you each day like Enoch walked. I pray, God, that you'll help us in that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and just worship the Lord. Said that may the things of this earth grow strangely dim. How many would say, Lord, there's something about my earthly walk that needs to become strangely dim. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lord, I can say that.
Yes.
Right. And we could always be able to say that until we can look and see that we're young again. Mm-hmm. Until that time, saints, we need to press on. And I don't know where it was. I said this the other day, but you know what? We can have a good time when we get there. If we could never have another time of peace and comfort here while we press on, and the next time we ever felt any good movement of God would be when we got there, it'd be worth it. He'll be with us here because he said he'd never leave us or forsake us. But saints, let's don't be caught up in the desire of just having a good time here until we neglect everything of God. What? Name one thing that's okay to put before God. So we know that we want to just move everything out of the way. If we can't have the strength to do it ourselves, just ask Him to help us. So I'd say, Lord, help me.
Amen.
Because I know, saints, there's got to be revival in me for you to have revival in you. And there is revival in me. I think you can see that. And I trust there's revival in you. Because I see the Lord doing something, and I'll do all that I can. I don't want anybody left behind. I'll do all that I can for you to see. And for you to be partakers and for you to move. But saints, we've got to get out of our seats. We've got to get up and move in God. And I'll tell you what, God inhabits the praises of the people.
That's right.
And I will say, we need to praise God. We need to worship God. You can bring His presence when you don't feel anything else. And you've prayed and you tried and it don't work. try praising Him. Try praising the Lord and sing a song of worship. Try entering into Him and saying, Lord, I love You. I thank You, Lord. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time that we had a good season of prayer in with God? When's the last time we set time alone where we actually put aside everything and actually got into the presence of God?
It works.
It works. Amen. It makes a difference, saints. And God is calling us higher right now.
Amen.
Don't let it pass you by, saints. Because we can't move unless He moves us, and right now He wants to move us.
Right.
God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Amen.